This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence is a heavy favorite to go number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars of the NFL draft that opens up a week from Thursday in Cleveland with the second pick, Zach Wilson, minus 2,500. Justin Fields, 16-1. Trey Lance of North Dakota State, 30-1. The 49ers had the third overall pick. Justin Fields, a former Ohio State quarterback, is the $1.40 favorite to go third. On Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, Circa Sports Sportsbook Operations Manager Jeff Benson discussed the number three pick of the draft. It all comes down to Alabama's Mac Jones or Ohio State's Justin Fields.
From a game theory and a betting theory perspective, you know, I think it's fascinating to look at correlated markets within the draft. You know, I think when you look at Mac Jones and Justin Fields, you know, I think they both go hand in hand, in my opinion. You know, with the Niners trading up to the third pick in the draft, it's kind of the worst kept secret in the league that they're going to draft a quarterback. And the amount of opinions, you know, I think that center on these two players and who's going to go in that third position is really incredible. And I think, you know, we've certainly seen that bared out with, you know, how the market is pricing these two. You know, it certainly looked like a foregone conclusion, at least, you know, to the market, you know, that Mac Jones was going to go number three. And then certainly here in the last, you know, week or so, we've really seen that Fields love come, and he's certainly been favored, at least lately in the market, to go number three. So for us, we opened Fields 3.5 under $2. We've seen a $1.50 move there as the over is now favored at minus 150. But to your point, you know, whereas we opened Mac Jones 9.5 under minus 160, that price has climbed to minus $3.
So yeah.
Conversely, when you look at Fields, you know, his over has been bet and has moved a ton. And when that happens, if bettors are taking Fields over in turn, the correlation there is that one would think that the Niners would be taking Jones instead. So for us, obviously with a lot of field over bets, in turn, we have conversely taken a ton of Mac Jones bets as well. So, you know, when you look at a lot of what the outcomes are going to be, obviously the Niners could draft Trey Lance or somebody else. But one would think if they don't draft Fields that they're probably drafting Mac Jones. So, you know, like I said, those bets go hand in hand, and there's a very, very high correlation between Fields over and Mac Jones under, and we've certainly seen that in the betting market.
Circus Sports, Sportsbook Operations Manager Jeff Benson on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, heard weekdays 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on VSiN. Again, the third overall pick to the San Francisco 49ers a week from Thursday, Justin Fields, the $1.40 favorite, Mac Jones plus 110, Trey Lance 4-1, Zach Wilson 33-1. The NASCAR Cup Series on Sunday, the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway, Denny Hamlin the 10-1 favorite, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney all 12-1. The spring sports schedule's heating up, and we're analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing each and every day. And our NFL experts are preparing for the 2021 NFL Draft with insights on trades and evaluating top picks and looking at prop betting opportunities. Now's the time to get Point Spread Weekly, our daily best bet subscriber-only email, and the latest odds and data at vsin.com. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
It's time to get your bets ready for the NFL Draft. While the teams evaluate the prospects, our football experts are finding the betting opportunities. We're looking at team needs, position props, and futures markets to find the best bets on the board. Get full coverage on vsin.com, daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access, plus we'll be live all night during round one with Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, and all of our vsin football experts. Start your free trial now at vsin.com/subscribe. subscribe.
Every day brings another opportunity to improve your sports betting knowledge, and the VSiN experts are working around the clock to give you the betting edge. Subscribe today to gain access to the full betting experience of our team of professional bettors, expert guests, and sportsbook insiders. Get the data and analysis you need to improve your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe and take your sports betting game to the next level.
Welcome into the Lombardi Line. I am Brady Cannon along with Mr. Michael Lombardi. I am here at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa at the tip of the strip. Michael, you are back there in New Jersey, about a 7-hour drive from the 2021 NFL Draft headquarters in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
As we sit just 8 days away, my friend.
I don't think I've ever made it in 7 hours from where I am. I've made it. It's usually an 8-hour drive for me. Get stopped on that Pennsylvania Turnpike, man, speed, and you got to talk your way out of that one. I did one time. I was driving there, Brady, and I was on the phone with my wife. I was coming back, and I'm going at probably 90 miles an hour, and I get right by this town, Somerset, and it's right where the police thing is, and of course, naturally, he pulls me over, and then he recognized me from NFL Network, and he says, hey, would you help me with my fantasy league? I said, absolutely, my man. You got it. I'm all in. We won 2 years in a row, Brady.
We won two years in a row. That is a great story. Well, I want to hear another story because this thing has become such a spectacle, and I love the NFL draft, me included. And I said this on Gil's show. I've said it before on the network. I actually kind of like it better than the regular season. There are so many moving parts. Rooting for your team and how they do and the strategizing and the panic and the maneuvering. It's like a great 6 or 7 ball games all over the course of 4 or 5 days. But tell us about your first experience with the NFL draft or maybe your first memory, because this thing has grown exponentially. What used to just be seemingly a few guys in a hotel room, you know, to where it has grown now.
Well, my first experience with the NFL draft was I was at college at Hofstra University, which is in Hempstead, Long Island, and I was fascinated with the draft, and I wanted to be a part of it. And it was always held on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock at the Sheraton Hotel. The problem was you had to get to the Sheraton by 3 in the morning to wait in line. They only had 500 seats inside the building that they would let fans come in. And it was just strictly, there was no television cameras. It was just strictly all business. They would announce the picks, the commissioner, some other guys, Val Pinback would do it. I forget how to say his last name. But anyway, so I would take the Long Island Railroad. I was a sophomore in college. I would get up at 2:30 in the morning, and I would get on the Long Island Railroad, and I would get to this Penn Station, walk over, wait in line. It's the first time I've ever seen Joel Buschbaum in person. I didn't know who he was at the time. He's just really skinny. He looked like a malnourished guy. He was very skinny. Thought the wind was going to blow him away. I thought he looked like the golfer, Zalatoris, the other day. He was that skinny, you know. And I just sat there, and I had a notebook, and I just started writing in the names. And it was 17 rounds. And you just started writing names, and it would go. And most of the guys, you had no idea who they were. You know, and my favorite team was the Washington Redskins at the time, and they picked, and they didn't pick until the 5th round. They picked this tight end from San Diego State named Don Marin, and I wrote his name down and tried to look him up with this book that I had that had a lot of the names in it. So that was my first experience, and my first draft was this gentleman behind me here. That was my first draft. That was when we drafted the great Jerry Rice in 1985. That was my first draft.
Well, that's not a bad way to start there with Mr. Rice. As the clock continues to tick for the Jacksonville Jaguars and their first selection, Michael, the news and the notes seem to develop, if not on a daily basis, an hourly basis. And now we're hearing reports that the Dolphins and the Panthers could possibly be taking calls from teams that want to move up. What are these two teams thinking, the Dolphins and the Panthers, and who's giving them the calls?
You know, when you drive into Vegas, you see those billboards that advertise, you know, come stay at the Circa, come stay at the Palm, you know, advertisement. Those, what you just cited, are advertisements given to the reporters by the teams. Look, let it out there that we're interested in moving. You know, Miami's in a situation where they're worried that maybe the guy that they want, skill player, the skill player that they want might not make it to them. You know, do they want Ja'Marr Chase? Who do they want? Do they want Kyle Pitts? What happens if both guys aren't there? You know, would they be willing to take Smith at 166 pounds at the sixth pick overall in the draft? I doubt that. Not that he's not a good player, but, you know, usually the top 10's reserved for size and speed. So I think that they're putting it out there, and they're trying. They're trying to create a quarterback market. They're trying to create desperation, and nothing spells desperation better than quarterback. That's desperation. And so I think what they're trying to do is to yell back in the room, Chicago, if you want to come up here, come on. Washington, do you want to come up? Come on. New England, do you want to come up and come on? You guys need quarterbacks. Are you willing to come up? New Orleans, do you want to come up? You know, like they're trying to let it be known that they're willing to go somewhere. Where they want to go, I don't know. They were at 12. They got back up to 6. I think they were better off at 12. Especially there would be a receiver at 12. I don't know which one would make it to him. One of the three. I don't think Chase would make it to him, but one of the other two would, and whether they think they could get those or not. And then they move back up for a specific reason, and perhaps they don't feel good about it because they think the Cincinnati Bengals might be taking the receiver that they want. I think that's really the issue.
All right, let's move to Trey Lance. He had his pro day on Monday. Big kid, athletic kid out of North Dakota State. He played one game in a COVID-abbreviated 2020 season, but in 2019, he was pretty impressive. 28 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 1,100 yards rushing. Now, as far as the betting market is concerned, Trey Lance to be the third overall pick is 4-1. In your opinion, is that a donation or a possibility?
I don't think that's a St. Jude's donation. Look, I'm pretty strong about San Francisco taking Mac Jones. I do think there's conversations in their building about Trey Lance. I really do. I think there's a strong contingency within their personnel department, their scouts, that genuinely like Trey Lance. They see him as a potential star that with a little bit of development, he can exceed expectations. And I think that's what's going on. And I think there's been a lot of late work done. Look, Kyle Shanahan watched the quarterbacks. His father, Mike, watched. Everybody's watched the quarterbacks, right? They all came up with a conclusion. And I think the conclusion was Mac Jones fits exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants. But there was people in that building that were like, wait a minute, not so fast. Don't we think Trey Lance is pretty good? Don't we think Justin Fields is pretty good? So to make everybody in the organization feel comfortable and feel collaborative, they have gone back and gone through this. They hired John Beck to make sure he could work with Lance. They hired Beck to work with Fields. They noticed he didn't work with Mac Jones because they already feel like they know Mac Jones. So I think a lot of this is they're collecting data. I think they know who they want. I think Kyle knows who he wants. Now, whether the other people in the building are willing to do that, I don't know. The reality here is Kyle has all the power. He has all the power to do whatever he wants to do. Last year, Brady, after the season, and I wrote about this in The Athletic, he wanted to trade in Jimmy Garoppolo for Tom Brady. He wanted to make that move. He was ready to make that move. He wanted somebody at that line of scrimmage that could do what he wanted to do. This is not debatable. This is true. People in the organization felt he was too quick to rush to judgment on Garoppolo. Give it time. We just went to the Super Bowl. We're a really good team. Garoppolo is going to get better. I think Kyle wanted something else. He wanted somebody who's really smart at the line of scrimmage, who could do all the things he wants him to do, and he's make good decisions with the football. And he didn't go for it. Even though he had all the authority, he acquiesced. I don't think he's going to acquiesce any longer.
All right, very good. The over-under on Trey Lance's draft position is 6.5. So if Lance is drafted at 7th or higher, it's a small underdog at +105. If he goes at 6 or earlier than that, that is the favorite at -130. Which way would you be going there?
I'm leaning the over because I think that at the end of the day, I think that the Atlanta Falcons will take Pitts.
Mm.
I think at the end of the day, the Bengals will take Sewell. I really do. I think they have to. It's too important not to have a left tackle. Now, I know they have Jonah Williams that they signed over there, and I know they signed Riley Reiff from the Minnesota Vikings at right tackle. But to me, those are just really, this is an elite blue-chip left tackle. And if they pass on him, they're passing on a Pro Bowl player. To take a receiver who I think is really good. Ja'Marr Chase is outstanding. There's no denying that. However, why would you take a receiver when you just watched the Super Bowl and you've seen your quarterback get destroyed because you can't block anybody? you know, you could move Williams into guard, and all of a sudden you have Sewell, and you have Williams on the left side of your line, and all of a sudden you're pretty good. All of a sudden that weakness has turned to a strength. I think it's really a mistake if Zach Taylor takes the receiver.
I'm totally with you, Michael, and I've talked about it on the network for the last couple of days. I mean, Joe Burrow can't throw to Ja'Marr Chase if he's on his keister. The offensive line pick, I think, is absolutely a no-brainer for the Bengals. And Kyle Pitts to Atlanta, I understand the theory of take the best player available, but I don't think that really addresses their needs, too. You and I talked about it last week. They've got Hayden Hurst. It'd be an embarrassment of riches if they added Kyle Pitts, but you know, this team needs offensive line protection too. You said it to me. How many times Matt Ryan's been sacked in the last 3 years? I would go O-line or defense if I'm the Falcons, or trade the pick.
I would too. But we have come into this world of team building in the National Football League that has become, we've become Maddenized in the NFL. And I don't mean that in any disrespect to the great John Madden. I mean it in the way that people are in their basements playing Madden, and it's all about skill. Because in Madden, you don't have to worry about Polakin. You know, you just throw the route, right? You know, you just everybody gets out and gets open in the route. You know, and pro football, you better control the trenches. And if you can't control the trenches on both sides of the ball, you're never going to be a championship team. It's proof by what happened with Dan Marino when he was in Miami, when he didn't make the playoffs for five consecutive seasons. So, look, I love all the skill you can get. But as Walsh used to say all the time, the last position you fix on your team is the wide receiver position.
Yeah,
he used
to
say that. And he was an offensive coordinator. He was an offensive coach. And he would always say, the last position we will fix will be wide out. So when we drafted this gentleman behind us, we had just won a Super Bowl in 84. We had won it with Freddie Solomon at wide receiver. And he felt like we needed a big-time player. He felt Freddie was on the decline, and he felt like the team was in perfect shape to then go ahead and really make another run if we got another receiver. And then in 86, we weren't the same team. We were not the same team. So we needed a bunch of players, and that's when we had that great draft in 86. But that message has never, ever left me. And I think that some of these teams are getting fall into the Twitter trap of more skill, more skill, more skill. You know, the Madden trap. We need more players. No, you need offensive and defensive linemen if you're going to win. The Raiders are the perfect example of that. Do you think the Raiders defensive? Look at the Raiders win total this year. You've seen it, right? What they're saying with that win total, as good as the Raiders are on offense, right? That's 7.5. As good as the Raiders are on offense with Carr, they're saying their offensive and defensive line can't get to 8 wins.
Yeah, I know. I think it's extremely telling, and it's amazing to me that these organizations, other than the Patriots and the 49ers and the Ravens and the Steelers, teams that are successful year in and year out, don't get it, that you have to build the trenches. And if the Bengals go away from drafting an offensive lineman, you know, I mean, it goes to what you're talking about. They're in the Twitterverse and just, you know, build the Madden team. You've got here Kyle Pitts on the odds board. Which team will draft him? The Falcons at +160 are the favorite. The Bengals at +225. I don't want either of those teams. I'd take someone further down the board. The Dolphins, I think, makes sense, right?
You know, how about this rumor? Think about this rumor. And this is out there. I mean, this is out there. It's ridiculous, but it's out there. The 49ers traded 2 number ones to get to 3 so they could take Kyle Pitts.
I think they have a guy named Kittle that's pretty good.
Okay, so let's walk through that a little bit. Like, why would I trade 2 number ones for a tight end when I drafted George Kittle in the 5th round? Do you don't think I can find another Kittle somewhere? He may not be as good as Kittle. You know, he drafted Jordan Reed when Jordan Reed was in Washington. Okay, there's another guy. Like, there's always going to be somebody, maybe not as good as Pitts. Maybe it's not the Cadillac version of that position, but maybe a little bit less. But would I trade 2 number ones for that? I mean, think about how much we've lost common sense when it comes to this. You talked about the beginning of the show. People are fascinated with the draft. They don't understand it. They're fascinated with it. They just throw names out. It's to the most of the public, it's all names. Nobody talks about team building. Nobody talks about how to build a team. How many kicking game players are you going to have? How much are you going to give consideration of 4 down players? You know, that's why I think when you look at this draft board and you see, I'll give you a kid that I think is shooting up the draft board. I think he's going way up there is the kid Elijah Moore from Mississippi. He's a 4 down player. He's explosive, can play in the slot, can play out of the slot. No one talks about him. Now, I've seen some of the ESPN analysts have him going in the first round lately, but he's always been a guy that teams are going to consider more than Tony from Florida, maybe even more than Bateman from Minnesota.
I like Tony from Florida, too. I think he's a dynamic player. While we're on the subject of wide receivers, how about Devonta Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama? The odds as far as the teams that will draft Devonta Smith, the Lions at 4-1, the Eagles at plus 450, the Dolphins at 5-1, the Giants at 5-1. Pretty packed house here in teams less than 10-1. And then all after that, you go to the Panthers, Broncos, and Vikings in the neighborhood of 12-16-1. The Lions are the favorite. Eagles a short second choice. Where do you think Smith ends up?
Well, I think, you know, at 12, I think he would be somebody the Eagles would have to consider, right? They would have to consider there. I can't see the Giants spending all that money for Galladay and then coming back and drafting a receiver. It just doesn't – that's not – I could see the Patriots trading up to go get a receiver because I think they could use that player. You know, yeah, they signed Nelson Aguilar. Yeah, they've got Kendrick Bourne. But I think they could definitely do that. I think the sleeper team in that group to trade up to go get him would be the Panthers because, you know, they've lost – they lost the receiver, Samuels, to there. So I think the Panthers and I would say the Patriots. I mean, the Broncos, look, the Broncos can have all the receivers they want. They have nobody to throw the ball to them.
Yeah, I hear you. And we'll get to that in the program as well. There are some odds out there on what position each team will draft first, and we'll go through half a dozen teams or so. Real quick here, we've got about 20 seconds. Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith? Which one do you think goes higher there, Waddle or Smith?
I think Smith goes higher, although I think it's a toss-up. Smith at 166 pounds is scary.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue with the NFL draft. We'll also play Doubt or No Doubt. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Basketball and hockey games every week, and with the early baseball season, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Michael Lombardi with you on a Wednesday, and it's time to play Doubt or No Doubt. I will throw out three statements, Michael, and you will tell me if you have your doubts or if there is no doubt, and I will start with the first one here. The AFC East division is made up of the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Patriots. The AFC East will have three playoff teams in 2021. Doubt or no doubt?
We're still at seven, right? We're going to have seven playoff teams? Yeah. I don't doubt that. I would not doubt that. I think that, the South will be a one team playoff team. I think it'll be Indianapolis. I can't see Tennessee sneaking in there. We know Houston isn't going to, nor Jacksonville. I think the West, you know, certainly has got a lot of consideration, but Kansas City, maybe the Chargers, there's two. And then the North, you know, I don't think Pittsburgh's a viable team there any longer as a playoff team. I think it's Cleveland and Baltimore. So there's two, you know, so I could see that. I don't doubt that. Yeah. By mathematics, I got that.
Are the Jets the odd man out in the AFC East?
I do think that. Yeah, the Jets are a long way away, especially if they go with the quarterback who's not played a lot, and we don't have, you know, the one thing I will say, there's a lot of players. We've got a lot of publicity has been made about no players wanting to go to off-season program. I talked to a lot of teams. They've got a lot of players in their practices. I mean, they may not have all the marquee players, but there's guys in those facilities working to get better. So that could help the Jets or any team that drafts a young quarterback because they can get them in their building and get them better.
All right, very good. Next up, you talked about the AFC West. The Las Vegas Raiders will finish last in the AFC West. Of course, that's the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders. The Raiders will finish last in the division, doubt or no doubt?
I don't doubt that. I think that of the four teams, let me say this, I doubt that only because I'm concerned about Denver quarterbacking. Denver's a really good value at 7.5 wins on the over-under total to go over. And if you make that bet to go over, you have full confidence that they're going to get a quarterback. Now, the confidence you have to have is, can that quarterback play right away? They say they draft Trey Lance and they trade up to get him or take him at 9. Is he going to be able to really help you over the 7.5 win total? I doubt that. So that's why I would have a little bit of doubt that the Raiders will finish in last place, because unless Denver really addresses that quarterback, unless they trade for a veteran guy like a Bridgewater, I think they could go over at 7.5. And that could make the Raiders in last place.
That division's pretty decent. Every team,
it's really good. Yeah,
every team expected to basically be 500 or better.
I think the Chargers are going to be vastly improved with Brandon Staley as he changes what they do defensively. He kind of moves things around and makes it more complex. What I don't like about the Raiders' hire of Gus Bradley, I think Gus Bradley's a really nice man. One front, one coverage. It's easy for you to go into the game saying, hey, we play the Raiders. They're going to be in this front. They're going to play this coverage, and we can do this. And here's their blitzes, and here's what they want to do. That's really, to me, to most good coordinators, that's too easy to attack.
All right, finally here, the Green Bay Packers will be the only NFC North team to finish over 500 in 2021. That, of course, is the Packers, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears. The Packers, the only team to have a better record than 500. Doubt or no doubt?
I don't doubt that. I think, and I hate to break this to Will Hill, I think it's going to be another year before the Vikings get there. I really do. He's very optimistic about, look, I think they're going to get better. Tomlinson on defense helps them. They get Michael Pierce back. But I still don't have a whole lot of confidence in their offensive line and Kirk Cousins. So I think it'll be one team.
Does that make it a pretty easy path or a less obstructed path for the Green Bay Packers to really get back to where they were and maybe even better than last season?
I think that if the Packers played last year without any help from the draft, and they really didn't do anything in free agency, and they still won 13 games. So give them credit for what they're doing. But to me, they're going to need this draft to really make some impact. And we don't know where they're going defensively. Joe Barry's the question mark. Are they going to be a Tampa 2 team? Are they going to be a cover 3 team? They're going to be less complex than they were, which helps their players play faster.
Are they going to go with a wide receiver this year like we thought they'd do last year?
They could. I mean, I think if that Moore kid drops down to them, that would be a hell of a pick.
All right, very good. Next up, it's hockey. We'll talk to Sunshine, your man up in the great north, Michael.
Oh, I love it.
Andy McNeil will join us here. Just a few games on the ice tonight in the NHL. Andy McNeil will join us to give us his plays and some thoughts as we get closer to the playoffs in the NHL. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. Spring sports betting action is in full swing, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball, NHL, and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We'll give you the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds, and analysis for every game at VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly, which is in your inbox today. Now's the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Brady Cannon and Michael Lombardi with you inside the Lombardi Line, and it's time to talk a little hockey. Andy McNeil joins us. He is our hockey expert, and he has a piece in today's edition of Point Spread Weekly. You can follow him at Digital Gambler on Twitter. Andy, thank you for joining us as always. And I think one of the most intriguing matchups in the NHL this year has been the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Carolina Hurricanes. And they have played a couple games over the past few days. They have split a pair. Tampa Bay wins in overtime, and then Carolina on Tuesday night wins pretty handily, 4-1 your final. If these two teams were to embark on a 7-game series tomorrow, what would you make the series price?
Off the top of my head, I think I would make the Tampa Bay Lightning around a minus 130 favorite on neutral ice. I think, you know, this team is going to look a lot different come playoff time with Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov back in the lineup. And the Carolina Hurricanes will get a boost when Tero Teravainen returns from injury. He's been out for quite a while, and he's a big part of their team. But, you know, when you factor in everything, goaltending, just the overall makeup of the team, I still think the Lightning are a tier above the Carolina Hurricanes.
Let's focus on the games on the ice tonight. Minnesota Wild goes to Arizona. The Wild picked up their fourth straight win on Monday when they beat the Coyotes 5-2. Their power play has been dynamic. I mean, it's been unbelievable. So, and they've also dominated this series. And I know you want to talk about this game. What do you like about this game to think that you know, they can that the Wild can continue to dominate the Coyotes?
Well, it's been a lot of hockey for these two teams in a short period of time. They played all their games in the season series since March 5th. So a lot of recent data and game tape to take in. This Coyotes team is you know, questionably without their best player in tonight's matchup. Connor Garland, I think, is their most dynamic forward and their most, you know, their biggest scoring threat on the ice at any given time. And he got tweaked. He tweaked something at practice yesterday, and then the coach said that there should be more information on that today, but we haven't had any update as of now. I make this game -170 in the case that Garland is out of the lineup, -160 roughly if he's in the lineup. So I like the Wild either way here. Played them in the last game at a bit of a discounted price because I think there was a little bit too much made out of the fact that Kuemper was returning to goal for the Coyotes and the fact that it was the third game in four nights for the Wild. But you know, they handled the Coyotes easily once again, and I don't think there's any reason why they can't get that done again tonight. So at -150, -155, I like the Minnesota Wild.
Andy, I know you were very numbers-based, but we're getting towards the nitty-gritty here, time of the season where teams are fighting for playoff spots. Do you think it's built into the price, or do you build it into your assessment, your handicap of this game, that the Arizona Coyotes are just hanging on to that fourth playoff spot by just 1 point in the West Division? You know, handicapping 101, sometimes you want to back a team that, quote-unquote, has its back against the wall. Does that factor into your thinking at all with Arizona tonight?
Well, they'll surely, you know, be up for this game, but the Wild are in a difficult place, too. They're chasing the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche, and, of course, you know, there's a slim chance that they catch either of those teams or surpass them. But, you know, the points are important to both teams, and I think that was the case in the last game, and it didn't deter the Wild from, you know, putting the Coyotes to bed pretty early. That game was 4-1, if not for an overturned goal, and the Coyotes did claw back a little bit, but Minnesota put the game out of reach, you know, pretty easily, in my opinion, last game, and I think that's going to be the case again today.
Who was your odds-on favorite to be the MVP of the league?
It's Connor McDavid. I don't think anybody's going to look past what he's done this season. You know, you're going to have people analyze it up and down and talk about how, you know, a large percentage of his points have come versus the Ottawa Senators and whatnot. But, you know, it's up there with some of the all-time great seasons as far as production goes. He's an amazing player. He takes over games like nobody else, and you know, he's a human highlight reel, and I don't think that anything's going to get in the way at this point of him taking home that trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah, we saw on Twitter that highlight of him the other night. The guy is just fantastic. And that leads me to my next question. I'm glad you brought him up. Are we kind of ignoring this North Division? You know, we're talking about the Bruins and the Lightning and Colorado and Vegas. And we're not really talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton, of course, has a couple of the biggest stars in the league. They will take on the Montreal Canadiens tonight. They're about a -135 favorite. What about this game and Edmonton's chances going forward in the postseason, Andy?
Well, I can tell you nobody's ignoring the North Division up here in Canada. It's the talk of every town. People are really enjoying the format, and I think that I think there's going to be some conversations had between this year and next year as to whether there should be more Canadian versus Canadian matchups in the NHL going forward once things are back to normal. But, you know, the big thing to watch here tonight is that the Oilers could be getting Ryan Nugent-Hopkins back, and that would, you know, increase their chances of winning for sure. Obviously, Carey Price out with a concussion. We won't see him tonight. We won't see him for the rest of the week. The Canadians have three big games coming up here against the Calgary Flames, and then that's pretty much Calgary's season on the line. But Jake Allen, he's the guy in Montreal tonight, and I have to like the Canadians' chances here if Ryan Nugent-Hopkins doesn't suit up for the game.
All right, my friend, we know you're on the Minnesota Wild. You've got the Predators at the Blackhawks and also the Sharks at the Golden Knights. Anything else in your portfolio for Wednesday?
Well, I think the Blackhawks and Predators game is one worth monitoring. We know Malcolm Subban's getting the start for the Blackhawks tonight. But it very well could be Pekka Rinne for the Predators, and he hasn't been good for a long time. So I don't think either team would have any real advantage in goal. And if you can get the Blackhawks at plus 110 or plus 115 in that scenario, I would make that play. I don't think there's a lot separating these two teams, despite the fact that Nashville has owned the season series 6-0.
Yeah, not a lot separating them in the standings either. Thank you as always, Andy. Enjoy the hockey tonight, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate
you. For sure,
you.
Guys. Good luck tonight.
All right. That is Andy Thanks. McNeil. We get back to the NFL draft props with Michael Lombardi when we return. It is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 moneyline wager on the Clippers or the Grizzlies in tonight's game. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details. Use the promo code VSIN100 to bet one and win 100 if either team hits a three-pointer. It's a new customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. It excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS off in Iowa in Tennessee. 800-889-9789. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. All right, Michael, time to get back to the NFL draft here. And we are looking at some specific players and the under or over on their draft position. And I think this is certainly an interesting topic. And, you know, at the start of the program, we're talking about how the draft has evolved. Here we are talking about making bets on player position. It's just incredible.
It's the best.
And I don't do a lot of betting on the draft. I bet football, as you know, week in and week out. But, you know, I just talked about my enjoyment for the draft, and a lot of it really doesn't have to do with betting, but it sure is an interesting discussion. The first player we'll look at here, offensive lineman, Penei Sewell, and you certainly like him to go high. The number is 6.5. If he goes after that, 7th or later, it's the underdog at plus 110. If he goes earlier than that, 6 or before 6, it's a heavy favorite at minus 140 for the big man out of Oregon.
You know, the more I think about this and the more I analyze it, I just truly think there's no way he can go after 6.5. For all I hear about Miami taking off a wide receiver, my instincts are these teams understand what it takes to win, and Cincinnati has to understand it more than any team in the league. When Mike Brown and Paul Brown own the team, Mike Brown still does, his daughter Katie Brown Blackburn runs it, Pete Brown Jr. They're all, when they were good in the 80s, and very, you know, we know that they had their run with Marvin Lewis and they lost 7 playoff games, but when they were really good, this team had a really good offensive line. Mouse McNally was their O-line coach. They had Anthony Munoz at left tackle. I think this is a moment in their franchise history where they can get a Munoz-type tackle. And they can see it. It's so obvious to them. They cannot see it. And I don't think they can pass it up. I think they can't pass it up. So for me, Sewell under 6.5, it just makes too much sense. It makes too much sense. And all I've done is followed into the noise that creates from the outside, from the Twitter mocks, from the Twitter building teams, from the Madden element. And I'm going to ignore that, and I'm going to go with my instincts. And I think Cincinnati or Miami will take Sewell, which means I think it goes under.
I think that's a great point you bring up, and I forgot about that parallel. Anthony Munoz, of course, a Pac-12 player, and then you've got Penei Sewell from the Pac-12. Maybe there's a little bit of a narrative there that they go back down that road, and I'm with you. I think the Bengals have to grab him at 5, and I would definitely go. I would lay the minus 140 there and go under 6.5. How about Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern? Now, he's projected to go a little bit later, and it's a pick'em. His number is 9.5. It's minus 110. Either way, if he's going to go later than that or earlier.
I'm leaning earlier only because I think that a lot of people like Slater. If you go back and watch him play, didn't play as a senior or junior, whatever his classification is. You watch him play against Chase Young. That's the tape people are really counting on, right? His dad's a former NBA player. You know, that Chase Young tape is the one that people look to and say, look what he did against him. He's a right and left tackle. I think he'll go earlier because once Sewell goes off the board, if you want to tackle, there's a lot of teams that need tackle, whether it's Carolina certainly could use a tackle, you know, as you go down there, that keeps him under the nine and a half. I think Dallas would be the place. This is why I think people think Dallas could take him. They don't have a right tackle, so that's why the number's at 9.5. My sense of it is people know Dallas might take the tackle, would jump in front of him if they had to.
Yeah, Dallas certainly needs. I mean, this was a team that had the best offensive line in football not that long ago, but those guys are getting older. They need some help there. The Chargers always seem to have injury on their offensive line. They could probably use it. And I have seen people project that our next man here, Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC, will go to Los Angeles, the Chargers. His number is 17.5, and for him to go later than that is a slight favorite at minus 125. To go at 17 or earlier, it's even money.
So really what I think the bookmakers have done is targeted a team that likes a player. How they've learned that, I don't know. But they know the Raiders looking for offensive linemen. And so they put this number at 17.5, figuring that if he makes it to 17, they'll either take him or he'll slip further down. You know, to me, the Chargers earlier want a left tackle. You know, they want a left tackle. And so if you think he could play left tackle, I'm not sure he can play left tackle. So that would take him out of it for me. But I think that's really what they want, you know, and he's more of a guard than he is a left tackle. So I would lean towards the over there unless you really feel like the Raiders were going to get that.
All right, Michael, let's shift over to the quarterbacks, and I'll start with Justin Fields. We already talked about Trey Lance. His number is 6.5 as far as draft position. Justin Fields has now ticked up a little bit to 4.5. Now, him going later than that is a pretty heavy underdog at plus 170. Earlier than that, a heavy favorite at minus 225.
You know, I mean, look, Atlanta holds the key here. Does somebody trade into the 4 spot to get him, or do they let him, or does Atlanta just take Pitts and move on? And then he's over 4.5, and so now he's at 5. So, you know, under 5, I don't see him as the third pick in the draft. I think if you look at all the mocks, I mean, Peter Schrager's pretty wired in the San Francisco 49er organization. If you read his mock draft recently, he has Mac Jones going 3 as well. You know, I think what we've always tried to do in draft rooms is never look at mock drafts in totality. Okay? If you want to play the draft pool, and I think it's if you want to bet this draft, and I think there's a lot of money to be made because I don't think the bookmakers have as much inside information as they would on some other elements with their analytics. But, for example, if you really want to know what a team's going to do, you don't look at the total mock. You look at certain mocks based on what that reporter does know. You know, for example, if you look at Peter Schrager, he's wired in Los Angeles. He's wired in San Francisco. He's got teams that is he wired everywhere in the league? I'm sure he has friends everywhere, but he has really good information in some places. Charlie Casserly, you look at his mock. Where's he wired into? And then you start to formulate the mocks based on where you feel they're wired.
That's okay? Great. Yeah.
Where you feel they're wired, and then allow you to take that information and move forward. And then you have to know the inner workings of how, who leaks information in organizations, how information gets out, you know, where does it come from? Who's the guy leaking the information? And so, like, this whole narrative about Trey Lance, there's someone in the organization of the 49ers that is telling people we like him. We don't know quite who it is. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But the reality of it is you're getting this information, but you want to target certain writers in certain places. You know, John McClain will have a pretty good handle on what Houston Texans would do, right? And there's some national writers that don't have a good handle on any team. They just guess. But there's some that really do, and I think that's what you have to pay attention to.
I think that's tremendous advice for handicapping the NFL, and I never thought of it that way. But certainly pick out guys that are wired into organizations and then kind of put them all together and see what you come up with. I think that makes a heck of a lot of sense.
I mean, and look, you know, you're going to look at – everybody's going to look at the ESPN. You know, like Daniel Jeremiah does a really good job at NFL.com. He's wired in about four or five places. You know, he worked with Joe Douglas at Baltimore. He's not going to not know what the Jets are going to do. Not that I'm saying Douglas is going to tell him, but he has an idea. A lot of people think, you know, people leak information. No, it's just that we have been around these people enough. I could show you notebooks that I have here in the office that basically break down the mindset within the room. We keep track of their trades. We keep track of the movement. We keep track of who they picked. Who's the decision maker in the organization? What really throws a fly into the ointment is when we don't know really a Terry Fontenot. What will he do? You know, what will he do? Is he going to let Arthur Smith run the draft? Is he going to take over? Is he going to be more inclined to be like what they used to do with Sean Payton in New Orleans and just let the head coach do it? That's my instinct. So you've got to handicap the evaluator. That's really what's so important about this. And don't pay attention to the total mock. Pay attention to certain parts of mocks.
Great stuff. Kyle Trask had a great season as the quarterback for the Florida Gators, really put up some big numbers, and he's been talked about lately as far as his position in the draft. Right now they've got him at over or under 77.5, which is the middle of the third round. Would you go earlier than that for Kyle Trask or later?
And here's the other thing I think we have to be really careful with. If you want to make this bet, you got to try to dig it up as much as you can to see what the medical is on the player. That's going to be really critical. What is the medical? Because the medical is going to determine whether he goes later than that or not. And that's really what we can't really predict. Why is Alex Smith retiring from football? Because no one could pass him on a physical. Did he want to retire? No. I'm sure he didn't want to retire. I'm sure he wanted to continue playing. But who was going to pass him? We said it on the show. Who was going to pass him on a physical? No one. Trask, where can he go? And is that knee going to be able to hold up when he does go somewhere? And what's the medical grade on him? And what round will the doctors allow teams to select him in? And based on that number that Vegas has put out there, it seems to me like, you know, people think that medical is going to push him into the fourth round.
Michael, real quick here before we go to the break. Davis Mills out of Stanford, getting a lot of buzz lately as well. The number is 60.5, which is late second round. Is he going earlier than that or later?
I would say earlier on that. I think he's a guy that if you do any work on his background, study his history, Georgia All Player of the Year, a lot to like. Now, he's had an injury-riddled career at Stanford, only played the one season, so you got to be careful there.
All right, this is my penultimate chance to talk to Michael about the draft. So we're going to continue on in hour number two, see if we can find some more bets to make in the prop market for the NFL draft coming up Thursday, April 29th. Hour one in the books. We'll be back on VSiN.